Rabbi, it's up to Simon Memvov, Seif, in middle of Seif Aleph. Let's carry on a little bit more about the halachas of Birkas HaShachar.
Yesterday you said you say Elokoi after you get up.
Yep.
If you look at the art scroll, so they don't have it. In one of the column, when it does, but in the art scroll, I don't think it has it. It has it before you have the brachos.
Yeah, that's the right time to say it.
But you said you should say it at home before you go to
No, the not necessarily. That wasn't the implication of what I said. It means it's to be recited at the beginning of davening. Some people say it indeed at home, but it can be. It is true that in essence it's about thank Hashem for waking up and returning the neshama. Absolutely. However, the Mishnah Berurah does tell us that some people prefer to say it in conjunction with other books as well. So it's okay. Correct. This will come subsequently.
And this you say subsequently. Mm-hmm. But you can say it in shul if you need.
Yes. Rabbi, let's hear more about the Birkas HaShachar. K'shem Mishnas Yemele Kain Neshama, K'shish Makol Atan Negol Yivorech Hanoisa Nesech Vibino. We carry on. K'shaloi Veish, when you get dressed, Yivorech Malbish Arumim. We recite the book of Malbish Arumim. Why Malbish Arumim? The Mishnah Berurah in Seif Katan, hey, tells us, Lav Davka Shoshen Orum. It doesn't mean that a person necessarily slept completely undressed. Elo, K'even Shodom Loi Veish, as when somebody's is getting dressed. Malbish Elyon Shalom Yivorech Bochazu. The Baruch doesn't mean that I was undressed before. It tells us I'm getting now more dressed. I'm wearing more garments upon getting out of bed. I'm putting on more formal garments, better garments, more garments. So therefore the Baruch of Malbish Arumim applies. So Arumim doesn't necessarily mean naked. It means I'm now Malbish more. Pardon? No, it is not.
It's not?
Because most people don't walk around with their pajamas.
What?
Most. Most people, I said. So there is an element of getting more dress code changes, and that's Malbish Arumim. Kshoshev, when a person sits, Yivorech Matir Asurim. Very interesting. Asurim literally means, it's such an interesting bracha that. What does literally Asurim mean?
Tied,
bound. So matir asuri means that now I am. It's untying the
bound.
Because when a person sleeps, there is in his physiologically and physically, the body is in a different
state.
In a different. So therefore, both the nerves, the muscles, the heartbeat, everything goes down. Mati Asuri means that now I'm untied from that passiveness. Is that passiveness? Not lethargic. There is that, we're tied. Mati Asuri, when we are sleeping, we're not
dormant,
that's right. So now we are untying that into the world of activity. Yeah, does that make sense? Very interesting bracha. Mati Asuri, we're tied. Because we're lacking activity, we're lacking energy, with no dynamic kind of. So now we are untying that to allow ourselves to sprout out and to use our energy and koiches. Isn't that a very interesting brachas?
I also heard that it can be used if somebody's tied in something which is unpleasant for them, like they can be tied in a bad marriage or a bad boss or whatever.
So what is matir? So what's the kiyoshe matir asurim? When a person, Shulchan Aruch says, when a person sits up, he wakes him up with matir asurim. What context?
If a person has one of these problems, they need to really concentrate on that.
Oh, I see. All right. Okay. Very interesting. Okay. Zoykev, when he stands up, he makes Zoykev kefufin. He makes the bach of Zoykev. The one, yeah.
Are you saying that the reason why we say these brachas Mr. Shaka is these reasons, or are you saying after each interval you're supposed to say the bracha, that's really the correct time?
The former.
The reason why we're listing everything in one is because of that.
Yeah, now a person in the times of the Shulchan, I'm not sure I'm answering you. In times of Shulchan Aruch, there was many generations and a long time that people would make that bracha upon every stage. When he sits up, he makes matir suim. When he stands up, he says zokif kufufin. When he starts walking, rekar etzal amoim. We don't do it like this anymore. But it was for a long time. Times gemot. That's what people did. Did I answer you?
Yes. So explain then why they did it at each stage, and now we do it.
Why we do it differently? We'll get to that. Shulchan Aruch asks, why don't we do it like that anymore?
Do we not say all of them stand?
Nowadays, we'll speak about nowadays. But in the times of Gemara, it was done literally one step at a time. That sequence. Correct, so far no, but now he's standing. When he stands up, thank you Hashem, we're praising Hashem for Zoykev, for a standing up, the kfufim, the bent down person. Yeah, because the Mati Asurim is in essence about waking up.
Yes, it should be before.
It is. Mati Asurim, and then comes Zoykev Kufufim, and then you wake up, you open your eyes. You woke. You Bakachirim is the waking, opening eyes. Yeah. Then Mati Asurim, which is the waking up, and then after Zoykev Kufufim, standing up, and then comes the Kshiniach Raglav Ba'aretz, when a person steps down on the floor. Yivor Roikar Etzal Amoyim. Person has got the Koyach Roikar Etzal Amoyim. A person has the is standing, is the physical ability of walking. Shinoel minolov, when a person puts on his shoes, yivach shosali kol tzorki. It is interesting how we find in Shas and in Chazal the importance of wearing shoes. It's very interesting. I never quite got to the bottom of this. It's very interesting. Shoes, the meaning shoes. There's something about shoes. When a person says makes the brach shinoel minolov, when a person puts on shoes, yivach shosali kol tzorki, has filled all my needs. Shoes more than anything else we're wearing. I get it, the tie is not tzoch of my needs, right? But why is the shoes more intrinsic and more necessity? Why is the shoes more necessity than the other parts of our garments? It's very interesting. There's something about shoes.
I've seen people davening with sandals, but no socks. Is that allowed?
Sandals without socks is a machloikas. It depends on that boils down to machloikas as to whether the feet are a revealed mokum agula or mokum chusa. The Mishnah holds that the feet are probably considered a place which is meant to be covered, and therefore it would be wrong to have that. But it depends on the place. I know in Eretz Yisrael there are people who claim that you've got sandals. And I'm sure that was for this in the 1950s and 60s. I'm sure a lot of people just walked around with sandals, probably, some say, but besides that, there's another aspect which you can learn in Siman Tzadi Aleph, that is, especially when it comes to davening, one should put on extra layers of garments. And it fails to fulfill that. But as to whether one can at all, is totally that machloikas mishtabura as to whether socks is a requirement. In terms of no shoes, that's interesting. There's no shoes. Yeah. Leather, yeah.
Some of the non-leather shoes are very comfortable as well.
So that's what Avashiv said. I had problems with them because of that. But generally the consensus is that it's nothing to do with comfort. It's got to do with what it's made out of. Yeah, Kshinoel Minola, Yvok Shosali Kol Tzorki.
Is there no there that that's just a generic thank you, Hashem?
No. Kshinoel Minola, Yvok Shosali Kol Tzorki. It's interesting. It is interesting that we find something about Japan.
Does that include sandals, socks?
Yeah. Well, it's. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the answer is yes. Yeah. What's that? Yeah, and not only infections, but it's true that, of course, we are not imagining the way the streets looked like 100, 200, 500 years ago, right? If you don't have shoes, then I gather that it's going to be very dangerous to walk around. I gather that. But it's considered a tzarich more than any other garments. Yeah.
In some places, I mean, I've had this for work, you have to wear not just shoes, you have to wear proper
protective
boots.
Right.
Because, God forbid, you can be where there are, for example, needles, for example, on the ground. Shoes wouldn't necessarily help you.
Protect, yeah. So yeah, so that's probably in line with that. So there's something about that. It's interesting also that we find that, so the importance of shoes. Okay, let's carry on. a person walks, then he starts making the bracha mechim tzadik gover. Shgoi chagura, when a person puts on his chagur, we're going to speak soon about what the chagura is. Yevorech oize Yisrael begvura. Oize over here, not with an ayin. Ayin would mean oize, helping. Oize with an aleph means, pardon?
Girding.
Girding, that's right. Yeah. Begvura. Oi, says the Ramah, loy v'shavneit, hamafsik b'ni libel ervo. When putting on a belt, which is mafsik, which separates between you and your lower part of your body. There is a very distinct difference between our upper parts of our body and the lower parts of our body. It's not by coincidence that the speaking, the thinking, the hearing, all the more cognitively, all the more advanced capabilities of human mind is on the upper part of the body as opposed to the lower part of the body, which is more gashmistic. So we are differentiating that. It's interesting, actually. We're going to be learning about that in Tzadzari Aleph. It's very interesting that when we think about Chassidim, we think about them wearing the gartel and what else? The gartel and the bekesha. It's interesting, you know, out of all the things that distinguishes the hat really, in terms of davening, it's hard to find. I mean, it's not crucial to have a hat for davening. I mean, it's not, it is makoris, but it's not. A jacket for davening, you can perhaps find, it's not easy to find a reason why a person is davening with a jacket. There's much reason to assume that you don't need to wear with a jacket. But the gartel, there's a lot of reason to stress a gartel as this, a belt separating the top and the bottom part. And that is a real, real halacha that one person should distinguish between the top. But it's not what we do. The chassidim do, we don't. Yeah, but it has to be. There isn't, ideally should be something which is a separate belt for tefillah, which we don't do. But it does do with our alternative. We use our regular belts for that purpose. Now, what does avneit mean over here? So we said the avneit in the literal. What does avneit normally mean? Avneit normally means hamafsik ben libo le'erva. Belt. So yeah, belt. It means a belt. Mishnah Berurah have gotten ches says. Avnei tochu michnasayim. It doesn't mean the belt, it means trousers. V'chein ha'apni shizkei shulchan aruch pasim tzadi alef. Avnei gav loshan ha'toyer peish avnei du ha'chagura. Normally avnei means chagura, belt. Kedikzir ha'at send the post to avnei bat yachkoi mikol mokim. Nevertheless, here, b'losh chomim, at times, the Gemara use the word for korei michnasayim avnei, it's trousers. So we're talking about trousers. We carry on. By the way, before proceeding, does anybody have the nusach? Mishnah Berurah says hameichin. He brings the viva good because of asheheichin mitzadegove. Yeah, is that your nusach? So Mishnah Berurah suggests that. Yeah, depends on the siddur. So Mishnah Berurah seems to like this version. It sounds like it's got anxiety. It's a good because of asheheichin. He seems to like it. Pardon?
Meichin is more succinct.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that. Kshemesim koivai mitznefes, when a person puts on a hat or a mitznefes, a cover, a head cover, beroshoi on his head, yivorech oite Yisrael, b'siva kodosh boch, you're crowning us. By the way, what was this gentleman wearing before that? Kshemesim koivai, when he puts on a hat, he says, yivorech oite Yisrael, b'siva kodosh boch. What was he saying before? What was he wearing before that? Do you know what he was wearing? Shluf Kapel? No, good. There is such a Bach. Well, 1 second. Pashtus, what was he wearing before that? So he's now on top of the Kapel, he's putting on the hat, and now he's saying, what he was up. False. What he was wearing before that was?
Nothing.
Nothing. According to Shulchan Aruch, you only put on head cover. Let's keep this quiet and secret, yeah? But according to Shulchan Aruch, you only put the head cover when you daven. Yeah, so that's a little insider. So when you wake up in the morning, you are, you know, nice and thing, and then you put on your hat, and that's when you make a boch. But don't spread the word.
In the old days, if they didn't have a head covering, when they davened, if they say a broch for an apple or something, they would wear a head covering.
Yes, for brochas and for tefillah. Yeah.
But otherwise, during the day, they wouldn't.
Correct. Shulchan Aruch doesn't, and there is a Ramah that says what you were saying, that the Ramah name takes on for self-understood that it was already, And we're going to remind also, we're going to remind ourselves also, that the Mishnah Berurah does say in Tzivkot and in Siman Beis, Mishnah Berurah told us that it's really important to wear a kapara at all times, even during sleeping as well. Mishnah Berurah did say that. It's a school of Yirat Shemaim, and a person should wear a head cover during sleeping as well. Mishnah Berurah taught us earlier, but in terms of the opinion of Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch didn't... Okay.
You can't
cover yourself on yourself. Ain guf mechase zatzmoy. Yeah. Pardon?
If you are wearing a t-shirt, can you use a cup?
If you're what? If you are?
Can you go like this? If you have a bare arm.
Yeah. A bare arm. Oh, I see. That's an interesting one. L'chayri you could. Yeah. L'chayri you could. Yeah. Why not? Okay, so that's the hat. And the mitznefes b'rosh oite is going to be spoke. Kshi itol yodov. Finally, we'll get the brach of kshi itol yodov. Washing your hands. Yivarech al natil as yudayim. Kshi chayis ponov. When a person washes his face, yivarech amav v'sheinu me'enai. We thank Kodesh Baruch Hu for removing the sleep from one's eyes. And then we recite v'yirotzen v'chulu ad brach ha'shem goymel chasom toim l'amo Yisrael. How beautiful and how little do we think about those beautiful brachas? We take them all for self-understood. And look, Kodesh Baruch Hu really, that there is, you know, there's so much beauty in this, that Kodesh Baruch Hu, the tefillah really should not force us, should encourage us to think about, to develop a sense of gratitude, to develop a sense of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. I woke up, Baruch Hashem, today, I can walk, I can see, I can stand, my mind is here, my vision is here, Baruch Hashem. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like, the tefillah is enabling us to think about it for a minute in the morning. Now, the challenge is on us. We should just have enough focus and concentration to have the kavanah to actually thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. Right. When you had to see, there you go. I've always said, you hear the mouth first. Which ones? Yeah, we'll get to them. They will be discussed. Yeah, look and see if Dalit. We'll get to that. It's Hashem. So, you can also see the Mishnah points out in Seif Kotan Yud, Yirotzni says, that's the Nusach, I think, that all the Nuschos has nowadays. That's the Nusch we have. Rabbi said, we carry on, Seif Beis, Achshov Mipnesh, Enodom Ayudam Nikios. Nowadays, our hands are not clean. And also because there's plenty of unknowledgeable, unsophisticated, uneducated people around us. She'enem yoidim, or some they don't know the brachas. So what do? I'm not going to sadom v'esakneses. We tend to recite them in shul. V'onim amen achayim, and we say amen after every single bracha. V'yoytze nechavasan, and v'yoytze in that way. So Rabbi said, Shulchan Aruch is telling us, you know, there are people out there who cannot read. People out there can't read. People there don't know the books by heart. So Shulchan Aruch said, you know what we're going to do?
He mentions them.
And everybody says, Amen. Also, another reason, the first reason he mentions, our hands are not clean. So how are you going to make a bracha before? How are you going to make the bracha? You're waking up and you say, wow, Mati Asurim. But hold on a sec. Your hands. You haven't washed your hands yet. Comes up. So therefore.
You washed your hands,
no, you haven't. You just woke up. You haven't. Okay, so it's before we know you open up. Can you? One of the brachas is Bekach Ivrim. So I challenge you to wash Negel Vasi with closed eyes. It's going to be a mubble in half. No, it says that you do the Al-Natil Asudem afterwards. So the answer is, they probably, I don't know about Pekech Rivim, but they must have probably washed their hands, and then, the Pekech Rivim, I don't know, but all the other ones must have done after washing hands. I'm just thinking that I do remember.
Let me see about the washing first.
Nikias?
And then,
Oisa Srocha
as well.
Yeah. Tuma. Yes, correct. And that is correct. So that is part of what I understand. That's part of the Shulchan Aruch says. So part of that is also that we are unable to make the brachas before that. So we wash our... Yeah. I don't know. Don't know. Interesting. I don't know.
I'm confused now about
why. Yeah.
I thought you make, when you get up, you make negel
brachas. Yes. This is the correct practice nowadays, for sure.
So what are you saying?
You will say the brachas, as the Mishnah says over here, you recite all the brachas afterwards. You do negel brachas, you wake up, you do everything you got to do, get dressed, etc., and then afterwards you recite all the brachas later on in shul. That's because the correct practice nowadays.
You don't have to wash again unless you go into the toilet.
Yeah.
Okay.
It sounds like it's a good idea. Achshav Mipneshan, he said that's a good idea. Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I know at times you will recite all the brachas at home, but Mishabu says that he says even a baki Mishabu says you've got Yud Gimel. Yeah. So the Mishnah says, "If God Yud Gimel, very good. That's the Mishnah Buh. If God Yud Gimel, Dichosan. Afilu the Baki Moitzi Mechavim VeKosoi, he can be Moitzi even the Baki. That means that even us that can read the brachas, there's nothing wrong with being Yoitze with the brachas of the Chazan. V'ain Sof Simon Vav Shebishim Alavush Shemachim Bekes Hashachsh Ena Moitzi Brachas Masore. There's an opinion that says you got to have 10 people for these brachas. So what I say? No 10 people in shul. Can't say that. Because of Shacha, you've got 10 people around. But there's an opinion that says you've got to make sure there's 10 people for because of Shacha. It's certainly not the meaning in Eretz Yisrael. It's also not the meaning here, I believe. To wait for 10 people for because of Shacha.
They don't do it.
Absolutely don't do it. That's right. You get to Yishtavach, that's what the meaning
is. The concept of the earlier part of davening being done to Tibur and Eretz Yisrael don't exist.
It doesn't. It's very foreign. Yeah. I'm with you. Rabbi Sad, summarize what we learned this evening. We spoke about these beautiful brachas. The Shliach Tzibur normally goes forward by Yishtavach, yeah. Yeah, in many places in Yerushalayim. Yeah. So we discussed the brachas of Anosin Tzechvi, Malbe Sharumim, Perkei Achivrim, Mati Asurim, Zoyki Kufufim, Roike Yosel Amoim. We spoke about Rashosin Kolzoki, Mechim Mitzad Egovem, and the remaining brachas. We spoke about the fact that nowadays the minhag is to recite all the brachas in shul because of the hands are not clean, as well as amaratzes to be moitzi. And we spoke there's nothing wrong with the moitzi, even the baki. And tomorrow mitzvah we're going to continue from Siv Gimel, learning about the halachas of the 100 daily brachas that will be covered tomorrow mitzvah.